the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers podcast with Chase McCabe on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Yeah, the round of eight is here. Four more races left in the season. What's going on? Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, on the Game Nashville app. You can find us on iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, and review. We are on SoundCloud. This show is literally everywhere. Chase McCabe here with you, hanging out. Got a big show today. We'll talk about Kansas. We'll preview Martinsville. Bob Pockrist from ESPN is going to join as well. But what a race it was at Kansas, and guess who we're talking about again? You know what? I'm not even going to tell you. I'm going to let Rick Allen from NBC tell you.
Chase Elliott coming out of turn four. He's going to win again, this time in Kansas.
Chase Elliott does it again. That call courtesy of NBC, Rick Allen there at the end of the race. Chase Elliott with his third win of the season. Do you remember when we were talking about on this show, guys, when is Chase Elliott going to win? When's he going to get a win? I mean, he's been doing this for 3 years now, and I mean, he's come so close. He's finished second like 65 times. When's he going to win? Now he has three on the year. He got two in the round of 12. He advances to the round of eight. Oh, and by the way, he's going to some tracks he's pretty darn good at. Martinsville, he should have won last year until Denny Hamlin wrecked him. Texas, he does well at. He's got some good tracks coming up for him in the next few races as they get to Homestead. Right now, he's got all the momentum on his side as he tries to make that championship four. And, you know, we've all had the big three penciled into Homestead. I'm not so sure I'm feeling that confident about that right now, because you got Truex, who's... he's third in points when you look at the standings, but he's kind of been on the struggle bus as of late. I mean, things haven't been that great for him. I think there's some, you know, a lot of other things going on distraction-wise off the track. But, you know, if any of the big three were going to miss out, I think it would be Truex. Chase Elliott in fourth, but you got Clint Bowyer. He won at Martinsville in the spring. He's good there. Joey Logano's starting to pick things up a little bit. Kurt Busch, Eric Almirola. I mean, the Stewart Haas cars are going to have something to say. They're going to kind of look at this going, look, Kevin Harvick is not going to be the only one that gets in to this championship four if we have something to say about it. So you had some eliminations. Let's start there. Everybody kind of looked at the beginning of the playoffs at Brad Keselowski as possibly being that guy that could be the fourth driver. He won the last two regular season races. He won the first race of the playoffs to advance to the second round. So he won three in a row. But he misses out and caught up with NBC after the race.
Yeah, those guys were just really fast, and we just weren't able to really do anything with probably the 9 and the 4. I don't know what happened to the 4, but he was really good too. We kind of finished where we were and with what we deserved. Just never really caught a break to, you know, make any more out of it.
When you look back at this round, what kind of went wrong after all the momentum coming into this round?
We got wrecked at Dover and ran out of gas when the race ran long at Talladega, and had a good day here today. Today is kind of like what we should have had the other 2 weeks, and that would have been more than enough, but that's not the way the brakes fell. It kind of fell against us, but and we weren't able to overcome that. But all in all, I'm still proud of the races we won and that effort, and just be proud of what we got, not what we don't.
Brad Keselowski with Marty Snyder of NBC after missing out. He finished sixth in the race at Kansas, but it wasn't quite good enough. So he does not advance. He's one of those drivers now that he's just going to try and win some races and enjoy the last four. But an interesting year for him. Kind of started out slow and then able to get those three wins to make it into the playoffs. But he does not get it done. Another guy that missed out, who actually won another one that won a race in the playoff, his teammate, Ryan Blaney.
I guess you move on from everything, and obviously a mistake I made, just trying hard, trying to catch those guys, and pushed too hard, got in the fence, so it's all my fault. Whether it worked out for us or not, I don't know, but I didn't think we had the speed. The 9 or the 4 did. The 4 had to come back in, but the 9 was super fast, and I don't know, messed up, and cost us It's a good shot, but thank Wrangler and Menards and Rakes Workwear for doing what they do. And the whole 12 team, they deserve a lot better than that. So that was unfortunate on my part.
A dejected Ryan Blaney with NBC after missing out. He finished seventh. Now, he was in position, you know, all race long. I mean, he had a pretty good car. He went on to say he didn't know if he had winning speed, but he definitely had enough speed that he probably could have advanced to the next round, but had a little miscue there at the end, hit the wall, and unfortunately comes home seventh, not good enough to make it to the next round. And then the one that everyone talked about throughout the year, Kyle Larson. How many times did I say and did we say to people that we talked to, Kyle Larson, he's going to be the fourth driver at Homestead outside the big three. He hadn't won a race. I was hard on him a few weeks ago. Like, hey, if you're going to get all this talk, I mean, you got to close it out. You got to win races. And he's been critical of his team, you know, respectfully. But like, hey, there are things we got to get better at. But once again, Kyle Larson will not advance to the round of eight. He talked after the race.
I wasn't as good there. I felt like on the short run, in the middle run, I'd be good. And then the end of the run, I'd be back to being bad. And the 18 was just able to get by me. I was pretty loose there for a handful of laps. And then my balance got really good. And as it seemed like the last two runs, or the entry of three and exit of four, got even higher. And that really helped me. And I felt like, you know, maybe if I got into... could have stayed second, you know, with the line that the nine was running there at the end. You know, I could have done something with it. So just hate that I allowed Kyle to get by me there at the beginning of that cycle. But a good day for our McDonald's team. Our car was fast, a lot better than practice. There was, you know, early in the race, I felt pretty identical to practice, just really edgy and loose, and we got it better and kept tightening it up, and felt like our balance was really good there to end. So wish I could have done something there, but Chase ran a good race up front, and you know, Kyle never makes mistakes as well, so hard to beat those guys.
Kyle Larson comes home third. He pretty much did need a win to advance to the next round, and almost had second, tried the slide job move on Kyle Busch, but unable to get it done. So he does not advance. I think, while I have been critical of Kyle Larson at times this year, I will say this, and I know that they have a different rules package next year. You don't know who's going to thrive at that, who's not. I think Kyle Larson is going to be a force next season. He is going to take this. He's going to be PO'd for greatness, and I think he's going to use it to his advantage to try and go for a championship. You are going to see Kyle Larson do some things next year. I firmly believe that. Now we talk about the guys that advance. And before we do that, we will take a look at the standings as we typically do here on Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So this is how it shakes up going into Martinsville this weekend for the first race of the round of eight. Kyle Busch leads the way. He is 40 points to the good. Kevin Harvick in second, 39 to the good. Martin Truex Jr., 23 to the good in third, the big three. Chase Elliott is fourth. He is 3 points to the good. Now, the guys that are underneath the cutoff line for Homestead, Clint Bowyer, Joey Logano, and Kurt Busch are all 3 points back going into Martinsville this weekend. And Eric Almirola is 12 points back. To me, if I'm making predictions, if I'm looking at how this shakes out, I think Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick are locks. They're going to Homestead. I think Chase Elliott needs a win. I think he will get a win. I think he will go to Homestead. I am not convinced of Martin Truex Jr. right now. Now, he's got some tracks that he's good at. Phoenix, Texas. So he has tracks that kind of fit, and I think that he could possibly use that to his advantage. But as of right now, he's got some work to do, because I just think there's a lot going on distraction with his team. And so we'll have to see how that shakes out with Martin Truex Jr. here in the next few weeks. Now, before we'll get to Chase Elliott here in a few minutes and kind of discuss where things have been going with him. But drivers that advance, one of those, of course, as I mentioned, is a guy in second place in points right now, Kevin Harvick.
I just screwed up today. Our Bushlight Ford was good and leading the race, obviously, and I thought I got in there a little bit too hot coming to pit road, and then I got it too far the other way when I was speeding back up, and before I looked down, I was going too fast before I caught it, and wasn't a lot, but just got to thank everybody at Stuart Haas. Hate that we finished 12th with a winning, capable car, but just pushing for all you had there, and I just screwed up.
Round of eight starts next week. Kevin, how excited are you about moving on there?
Hey, it's just one race at a time, and you know, I think as you look at you know, the racetracks, Texas and Phoenix are really good racetracks for us. Martinsville, we ran great at the first one, and Clint won, so just got to keep doing what we're doing.
That's something to keep in mind for this weekend. Kevin Harvick with Dave Burns from NBC. You know, Harvick dominated the race from Martinsville, and Bowyer got the win. We know how good he is at Phoenix. He mentioned Texas. This stretch is really, really good for Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch. And the other drivers should be a little bit worried because those guys run well at these tracks. A guy that is happy to be out of Kansas, but happy to be in the round of eight, Kurt Busch.
Oof, she was nasty. She was wicked. I already pulled my phone out and hit the GPS to Martinsville. We got to go. We're out of here. We're in the top eight. I can't believe it. What a day that we had with ill handling. I couldn't get the car center out. They either plow or just dead sideways. It was a magical weekend last weekend, and this weekend it was miserable. But we're a good team, and we had enough points through the stages. And just with the way we ran in this this part of the season, you know, when you start at Daytona, you go into the championship mode, and we're a top eight team just by taking a green flag down there. And I just got to thank Stuart Haas, Monster Energy, Haas Automation, everybody that works on our Ford. We knew we were a top eight team. Tough day today, but heck, points reset. Let's go get them. We got four races to win this thing.
Okay, what's it going to take to become a part of that championship four in this next round? How are you going to advance?
Everything. You got to have speed. You got to have handling. You got to have the right pitch strategy. You got to have a good engine. You got to have a little bit of lady luck, and you have to execute as a group. And so a pit penalty today, those are tough to overcome at Martinsville or any of these final races, because these Elite Eight are the best of the best, and it's great to be part of it again.
Kurt Busch with Parker Kligerman from NBC. He's a guy that I think you need to watch out for because just the way he has run this year with Stuart Haas, and I know he's kind of, you know, he's in the rumor mill. We had him on the show. I was thinking that he was going to be making an announcement, you know, soon after he was on with us a few months ago, and he hadn't made one yet. I think it's Chip Ganassi Racing, but, you know, who knows? There could be a swerve where he's going to go back to Stuart Haas because they've run so well. I think it's a good fit for him. He's had success there. He won the Daytona 500 there. He's competing for a championship. So it's going to be interesting to see what Kurt Busch does. You know, I mentioned Martin Truex Jr. earlier and how I could see him possibly being somebody that falls out. You know, Clint Bowyer or Kurt Busch, to me, could be the guys that get that spot. If Truex falls out and Chase Elliott does what I think Chase Elliott's going to do, and Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick do what I think they're going to do, Kurt Busch could definitely be in a position for that. But we will see. And finally, I mentioned Kyle Busch. He spoke at the podium after the race and was pleased with his day.
It was a good day for us, you know, just had to make sure we had a solid day here to make sure that we got into the next round and being able to do a good job of that. So this is a mile and a half racetrack, which is Texas and Homestead. So it's important to be good at these places, especially here, I feel like, because it's getting more similar to Homestead and closer to there. And of course, you know, also with just Texas being a fast mile and a half, there's some tendencies that are similar, but good day. You know, we had a great race there at the end. We were trying to chase down Chase, and we were close. We got kind of there, and then just the car died out, just didn't have any more to go. So I was afraid that was going to happen, but good day for us.
Kyle Busch comes home second at Kansas. He does advance. He leads the points currently, 1 point ahead of Kevin Harvick going into Martinsville this weekend. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, you will hear from the man that has won three races this year, including Kansas, and has a ton of momentum on his side, Chase Elliott. when we come back. Bob Pockrass from ESPN coming up a little later in the show. It's Chasing Checkers. Find us on iTunes. If you missed the show on ESPN 102.5 The Game, rate, subscribe, and review, and also online at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you on Chasing Checkers. You can find us online at thegamenashville.com. New episode every Friday. And also on iTunes. Rate, subscribe, and review. Follow me on Twitter at ChaseOnGame. Bob Pockrass from ESPN will join the show here in just a little bit. But kind of wrapping up the conversation from what took place at the Kansas Speedway, Chase Elliott gets his third win of the year. And as I led off the show with, remember when we were talking about when is Chase Elliott going to win? And then he gets that win at Watkins Glen, and all of a sudden, boom, like wildfire. And he has a ton of momentum on his side right now. A very excited Chase Elliott in victory lane with NBC's Kelly Stavis.
Great round for us, for sure. Just proud of the effort. You know, we certainly weren't where we wanted to be at the beginning of the year, and have had a good few weeks. Obviously got fortunate with Kevin and his misfortune there with his penalty. Would love to race him straight up. But just proud of my team, proud of all of our partners, Mountain Dew, Napa, Hooters, Chevrolet, Kelly Blue Book, Sunergy One. It's been just an unbelievable year, man, after last year and coming close so many times. You just have to enjoy these. I mean, you never know when or if you're ever going to get another one. So just so appreciative, crazy to have done it, you know, a couple times in a few weeks, but definitely not taking it for granted.
Well, and after qualifying, you qualified 13th. You were really disappointed, and you told me, hey, this is an important race because it's on a mile-and-a-half track. You've got two more ahead of you. So what does this do for the team looking ahead?
Yeah, I think it's great. I feel like I had a great effort. That's obviously what you want. I mean, you know, Kevin was obviously really fast, but I thought that we were really even with him there that run. I was behind him. It would have been really hard to pass him, but would love to have raced him straight up. I'm sure you're going to have to deal with him, you know, throughout the rest of the deal, along Kyle and the rest of them. So just proud to be amongst them right now, and we'll try to keep it going. This is not the time to let up.
Chase Elliott with Kelly Stavis from NBC. And you know what's interesting there is he kept saying, and he did a couple of other interviews where, I wish I could have raced Kevin Harvick straight up. He went up against Kyle Busch a little bit, but as Kyle said in the previous segment, his car kind of fell off. I think that's very interesting that he is acknowledging, as he should, that in order for me to win a championship, I got to beat these guys straight up. I got to see what I have against them. And the fact that he hasn't really had to match up against them as much, because look, Chase Elliott hasn't dominated these races. He has been strong at the end. He's kind of been like Kevin Harvick was back in the day when he was the closer, where, you know, where did he come from? He would show up and end up winning races. Chase Elliott's putting himself in position at the right place at the right time. But I do find it interesting that he commented on that, hey, I got to be able to go toe-to-toe with these guys if I want to win this championship at Homestead. So very mature, very good thoughts by Chase Elliott. So we will see what happens when he does encounter Kevin Harvick or a Kyle Busch, straight up, as he likes to say. In fact, Bob Pockrass coming up here in just a little bit on the show. I'm going to play you a little exchange he had with Kyle Busch in the post-race press conference asking about Chase Elliott.
Were you surprised at all that Chase was able to seem to improve so much during the race and also can kind of handicap?
Bob, do I care about the 9?
Well, you should if he's...
Why?
Because he won here, and if that means that he won here and you're racing mile and a half, so that makes him a...
Okay.
That makes him a contender, right? If I look at this race...
Okay. He was really good here when we tested here. So we knew he was going to be a force to be reckoned with. He didn't feel like he was going to be here before the race. I spoke with him a little bit, and he was kind of leery about how his car was, but I told him that he was going to be fine. You know, it looked like our cars were still really similar to one another and just as similar as they were when we tested here together. So it didn't surprise me that he was that fast. I don't think it was necessarily us getting our cars better throughout the race as much as it was that track position played a role. It just seemed like it was so hard to pass once everybody got around the top and was rolling the wall.
That's Kyle Busch with Bob Pockrass and Brexton making an appearance as well. Kyle, don't pick on Bob. Be nice to Bob. But it is interesting that Kyle Busch also acknowledged, like, hey, we knew what he was going to be. We tested here, saw how he ran. We knew that he was going to be good. So I think that you're seeing respect from everybody. You're seeing Chase Elliott show Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick respect. You're seeing Kyle Busch show respect in his own way. I mean, he's never going to straight up give a guy credit. He's going to be Kyle Busch about it. But that's why we love him, the personality. But I think it's interesting. They're all sizing each other up with four races left. They got to get through these three. And what's interesting is whoever wins this weekend is either going to have momentum because they know, all right, I'm at Homestead, so I can just take care of business the next two, but I can focus on Homestead. Or you kind of look at whoever wins maybe the middle race or the final race before you get to Homestead. But I think if you're one of those three, you'd like to win this weekend because then you don't have to worry about anything until Homestead. And then it's one more. You can try and get some padding, but then it's one more. So Chase Elliott gets that win. And of course, we have to use that word, momentum.
I mean, it is, but it, you know, just because you ran good this week doesn't mean next week's going to go good. But yeah, momentum's nice. You know, I'd rather have it than not have it, but still at a pretty big points deficit behind the 18, the 4, and some of those other guys. So, you know, if we just keep running with them every week, I think we'll like I said, I think we can give ourselves a chance. That's all you can ask for. So we're going to keep the hammer down and try to keep as much pressure on as we can and just see where it plays out.
That's very interesting he brings that up because you do have to points race a little bit. I mean, wins will advance you, but, you know, at Homestead, if the champion doesn't win the race, it's all going to shake out on points. And Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch obviously have a lot of momentum there. So Elliott's kind of looking at that, which I think is smart. I mean, I think you have to look at that. But again, as I said, you get a win this weekend and you feel a lot better about things as you go along. Now, one thing that he brought up and was asked about was his confidence level now that he's won all these races.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I wish you could have raced Kevin for it, you know, straight up there at the end and him not have his misfortune. That was, to me, you know, that was, you know, a nice goal to have. Obviously, I think he's been the class of the mile and a half throughout the year. But just to run with him, be able to pace him lap time wise and be within 10 car lengths of him trying to get by him, I thought was very encouraging. So I'm encouraged by that. Kansas is very different from Homestead, so very different racetrack. Texas is also very different. So, you know, I look forward to the next round. Definitely a big win. They're all big. I mean, you know, the road to Watkins Glen was so hard. And then the past couple months being like they've been, it's kind of surreal, but you just have to appreciate them. I mean, you don't know when or if you're ever going to win another race. So I'm going to be as excited today as I've been. I'm going to enjoy it as much as I enjoy Watkins Glen or Dover. The only difference is we go to Martinsville in 4 days and it's game on again.
I think where he gets the confidence is not necessarily by winning the race. I mean, that always helps, but I think he gets it by what he said, racing with guys like Harvick and Busch and beating them on times. I think that's what really helps him build that confidence. So what kind of a team is the 9 team and Chase Elliott? He thinks they've always been kind of a championship type team.
From a mental standpoint or a team standpoint, I don't think we're any different. We haven't done anything different approach-wise since I've been at Hendrick or Alan and I have been working together. The difference has been going through some tougher days, having some learning experiences and making our cars faster, and having those learning experiences along with making our cars better, to me, has net better results. So I think we have just as good a shot as anybody, and that's our approach these next 3 weeks.
And I think the biggest thing with Chase Elliott has been the, I guess, failures, if you want to use that word, but finishing second so many times, not getting those wins, that has helped him grow into the driver he is. And now that he is winning and he's learned how to do it, you know, you got to learn how to lose before you learn how to win. I think that that makes him such a dangerous driver. And look, whether it's this year or years in the future, I think Chase Elliott is a champion in the Cup Series. I think he's always been. I think he's always had that pedigree. He's always had that build, that makeup. So I would not be surprised at all to see him hoist the cup, the the Monster Energy Cup. I'm so used to talking hockey here in a few years. Bob Pockrass from ESPN is going to join us when we come back here on Chasing Checkers. Stick around for that. Lots to get into. Silly season, the playoffs as a whole, and of course, Martinsville this weekend. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you as always, and as promised, joined by Bob Pockrass from ESPN. You can see his work on Twitter at Bob Pockrass. And Bob, let's start things off with these playoffs. And to me, it's flown by. You have such a long season leading up to this point, but we're now into the round of eight. We're just three races away from going to Homestead to crown a champion. Anything surprised you so far in the first two rounds of the playoffs?
I mean, I think you've got to be a little bit surprised that that Alex Bowman made it to the second round. Maybe a little bit surprised that Eric Almirola made it to the third round, and maybe even bigger that Kyle Larson didn't advance to the third round. I know Larson hasn't won this year, but he's had enough speed and a little bit of loss. He thought he would be able to do enough to at least point his way in, but obviously they couldn't make that happen.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Kyle Larson. I mean, how many of us had him penciled in as kind of the fourth driver at Homestead along with the big three? And like you said, he doesn't advance. And now you have Chase Elliott, who has three wins on the season, and he's put himself into a great position to possibly go to Homestead.
Yeah, and if you didn't have Larson penciled in to join the big three, you probably had Brad Keselowski penciled
right
in after he won the last two races of the regular season. But now Chase has kind of been the one who has stepped up. Obviously, three wins in the last 11 races. You can't say he's dominated any of these races that he's won, but you know, he's been in the right place at the right time. And when you have a top five car and your team limits their mistakes, you put yourself in position to win, and that's what they've done.
Yeah, and Chase Elliott right now, as they start the round of eight, will be the last car in along with the big three at Homestead. Obviously, a long way to go with these three races. But how disappointed would, I guess, fans be, or we as the media be, if it's not one of the big three walking away with the championship? Do you think that just is a product of the format and adds some excitement?
It's a product of the format. It does add excitement. But if you said that it cheapens the championship, or maybe for a better term, that it kind of alters the way you look at your champion, it'd be hard to argue against that thought. You know, a lot of racing series, including NASCAR for many, many years, was determined by consistently good performance, or consistently very good performance. You know, back when it was just a 10-race playoff with no elimination, to me that was the hardest. You had to be great for 10 straight weeks, it seemed like. Maybe could have one bad week. Now, you know, you just have to be good for 32 weeks, and then great for the final 4 weeks in order to make for a shot to win the title. Or in some ways, you know, you just have to be good one of the next 3 weeks, and then you'll have your shot. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if anyone but the big three wins the title, you'll say, wow, that team didn't necessarily have a championship season with the way most people would view what type of season you would need to win a championship in racing. But, you know, NASCAR's kind of traded that in hopes of creating drama, creating excitement for that race in Homestead and throughout its playoffs.
Bob Pockrass from ESPN on the line with us here on Chasing Checkers. So I look at these next few races, and they seem to benefit a guy like Kevin Harvick, a guy like Kyle Busch. I mean, Kyle Busch is great down this stretch. So I think it's easy to say, barring any type of unforeseen circumstance, that those two are probably in. Where do you rank Truex right now? They made the announcement, you know, several months ago, I guess it's been, that Barney Visser's closing shop. He's going to be looking for a ride. It looks like it's going to be Gibbs. But where do you kind of rank them right now in their performance?
I rank them with a big question mark. You know, I think they just haven't been as strong as you're used to seeing them. So I would rank them, you know, certainly Harvick and Kyle Busch are 1-2. I still would rank Truex 3 based on the season that they've had, but you know, it's kind of a weak third, I would say. It's you're starting to scratch your head and wonder whether, I wouldn't say the pressure, but just the distraction and the mood of knowing that it'll all be over in 4 weeks just has brought that team down a little bit.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I feel like that they have, you know, they're all looking for jobs. And again, we kind of think it's going to be Gibbs. He's going to go to the fourth Gibbs car over there, which makes sense, and keep basically the band together. But it's still, there are still things that you have to figure out when you're making a move, especially now that you're the defending champion and you didn't think you were going to be making this move. The last time I had you on the show, we were kind of like, okay, they'll find a sponsor, they'll get a deal done. And now all of a sudden they're closing shop. So I can understand that that's created this distraction.
Yeah. And I mean, I will say that I don't believe that there's any sort of like, oh, we're not going to spend money on this part or piece. And that is where they're lacking. I just think, you know, hey, all the, you know, most, from everything I understand, most of the team members either have jobs with other teams for already lined up for next year, or they're going to stay in Colorado and work in another one of Barney Visser's companies. But for those who are going to have to move, they're probably already starting to make some plans, you know, having to look, you know, if they have houses, you know, kind of trying to figure out when, you know, what, when to start looking to buy and what, and the priority trying to get their houses ready to sell. So there's always all those other things going on. Now, you know, look, championship teams always seem to have distractions. There's always something going on. So, you know, it's just going to come down to ability to focus and ability to execute.
Bob, we think we know where a lot of drivers are going to land next year. We think Truex is going to Gibbs. We think Kurt Busch is probably going to Chip Ganassi. I've read your tweets that Suarez, signs are pointing to Stuart Haas, but when do you expect actual announcements? Do you think they're going to wait till the end of the season?
I think they'd like to get them done once they feel comfortable being able to talk about it. I think a lot of it just has to do with sponsors and alignment, you know, everybody kind of wants to announce things in a neat package, right? You know, hey, this is going to be our driver and this is who's going to sponsor him. But, you know, life is messy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, I think if they had stuff set as far as exactly sponsor lineup and everything, they would make the announcement, you know, but, you know, so I wouldn't say that the end of the season they're going to wait for. I think once they can get it done, they'll announce it, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get some announcements kind of in the next 2-3 weeks.
Bob Pockrass from ESPN on the line with us. And speaking of sponsorships, I know that Rick Hendrick came out a few weeks ago and said they were close to something for Jimmy Johnson. What have you heard as far as Jimmy Johnson and a new sponsor that'll be replacing Lowe's?
I mean, I heard Rick Hendrick say that about 3 weeks ago, that they hope to have somebody to announce something in 30 days. You know, he told me in Pocono that he hoped to have something by like Labor Day. So I think they're close. From everything I gather, that they have somebody in the wings and they just need to seal the deal. Don't really have a good bead as far as like being able to say who it definitely is going to be. But, you know, I think they've got someone to try to ride the wave with Jimmy minus Chad Knauss.
Yeah, the breakup of the century between Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knauss, even though I think everything seems to be fine. But that did kind of rock the racing world of like, hey, they're finally going to go their separate ways. And I like the move. I think for William Byron, especially getting a guy like Chad Knauss on his pit box is going to be beneficial to him.
I think so. I think it's a better move for Jimmy. I think people are going to respect Jimmy more because I think he'll still perform well under a new crew chief. The interesting thing I see here is not William Byron having any problems working with Chad, but I'll be interested to see how his crew works with Chad. You know, they're not swapping crews. They're just swapping crew chiefs.
Right. And
granted, there might be a move here or there, but you know, it takes a special type of person to respond and perform well under Chad. You know, Chad's very demanding, you know, very intense. And there's certain people who thrive in that environment, and there are other people who don't perform well. You know, they can't handle that type of I don't want to say that type of pressure because they're all under pressure. But you know, certain people could play basketball for Bob Knight, and other people couldn't, right? You know, and I think this is kind of the same thing. I'll be interested to see how the crew members respond to Chad more so than William Byron. I think William Byron will be fine.
Bob Pockris from ESPN. Martinsville this weekend, and we saw last year, this is when Chase Elliott, it all started to kind of change with him. He had the race won. Denny Hamlin got into him. He obviously was upset. Do we see a little redemption, and with this momentum that Chase Elliott has, could you see him being the driver to watch this weekend?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. You know, I would say that any weekend, just because they haven't dominated, you know, enough for me to say, oh man, they're definitely going to be the driver to watch. You know, I mean, look, Chase wasn't just leading that race late in the event last year. He had led 123 laps, but you know, in March he finished ninth. You know, now, Grant, he started 21st because, you know, they lined up by points. But he wasn't a factor back in March. So I'm not really set to, you know, to say, you know, he's going to be the dominant force or the one to beat on Sunday. I think you're going to look at, you know, at Harvick. You're going to look, you got to consider Bowyer after what he did there in March. And then, you know, I think you're going to look at Kyle Busch.
Bob, before I let you go, they tested it at Charlotte with a Goodyear tire test and with this new rules package they're going to run in 2019. And there was a lot of discussion about it around the All-Star race, and they ran it in some Xfinity Series races. With NASCAR kind of, you know, going in a little bit of a different direction, you know, you have new leadership at the top and things like that. Is this the right move to try a package like this to continue to improve the product?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know that it's the right move to be doing it in half the races. I would have preferred to have seen it in many fewer races. It'll be interesting to see. I don't think NASCAR has as much a racing problem as it has a passion problem. And you know, and it's to be determined whether this package, if it can create more passes for the lead, whether that's what NASCAR needs to create passion.
Bob, I appreciate the time as always. Enjoy Martinsville, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks.
That's Bob Pockris from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Bob Pockris, and does great work. Been covering the sport for a long time, and should be interesting for Martinsville this weekend. We will discuss further when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and online. TheGameNashville.com. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at TheGameNashville.com. iTunes, SoundCloud, rate, subscribe, and review. You can find everything on demand at TheGameNashville.com as well. Chase McCabe here with you, wrapping up another great week. Bob Pockris from ESPN, appreciate him for joining us as we look ahead now to the round of eight, starting things off this weekend at the Martinsville Speedway. And it is always a fun time at the Paperclip. That is a track that is on my bucket list that I want to go to. I have never been there, but I know I want to go and get a hot dog and sit in the infield and everywhere around that racetrack and enjoy it. And I would love to see them run a race there under the lights too, now that they've put lights up, but we will see. So an interesting thing that I was reading on NASCAR.com going into the show, and that is the last three winners have propelled themselves into the championship four. Now, that you hear that and go, okay, well, yeah, because if you win, you go to the championship four. But think about this. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is the last driver to win at Martinsville that was not in the round of eight. He had already been eliminated, and so therefore could not transfer to the championship four. That was back in 2014. 2015, Jeff Gordon, who had announced his retirement already, wins the race at Martinsville. He goes to Homestead to race for the championship, ends up missing out, ends up losing. Jimmy Johnson in 2016 wins the race at Martinsville, goes to Homestead, wins the championship, his seventh championship. So he used that victory at Martinsville to get to Homestead. And then last year, Kyle Busch wins at Martinsville and goes on to the championship four at Homestead. So this is the first race of the round of eight. And I said earlier in the show that I think you could build some momentum by going ahead and winning, punching your ticket, and then you can just race for points over the next few races and try and get some more wins. But you know that you're going to Homestead. It takes a lot of pressure off if you know that you're going to go to Homestead already if you win this weekend. This is not an easy track. This takes some guts, some fortitude to win at this place. And it's not going to be easy for the eight drivers that are in the playoffs, because you're going to have other guys that are going to be like, hey, I got nothing to race for, nothing to lose. I'm going to go get a win. And the one that is at the top of that list that you should watch this weekend is Jimmy Johnson. This guy has won at Martinsville 9 times. He's the king. He's the king of Martinsville among the active drivers. In 33 races, 9 wins, 19 top fives, 24 top tens. He's only started from the pole 3 times. He has led 2,862 laps at the Martinsville Speedway. That is freaking amazing. Second on the list of active drivers, Denny Hamlin with 5 wins. 12 top fives, 18 top tens, 3 poles. He's led just a little over 1,500 laps. Kyle Busch, 2 wins. Jimmy Johnson knows how to get around this place. He's got a lot of grandfather clocks. And I would watch out for him to play spoiler, because, again, what has he got to lose? He just wants to win a race. He hasn't won a race this year. Jimmy just wants to get in victory lane one more time with Chad Knaus, one more time with Lowe's. So I would be cautious of the 48, because this is where they thrive. I would be cautious of Denny Hamlin. Same reason, hadn't won a race this year. He's eliminated. He's going to be a guy that, you know, last year was going for it, wrecked Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott had the thing won, and Kyle Busch ends up being right place, right time. He gets the win. And look, he's good here too. Kyle Busch, we've seen, you know, Bristol's kind of his short track, but he's pretty good on all short tracks, and I would look for him. Bowyer, who won in the spring, Kevin Harvick dominated. It's a toss-up, but I think the drivers that are going to be the most dangerous are the ones that don't really have anything to race for. They're not worried about Homestead anymore. They just want to get a win. And I put Jimmy Johnson at the top of that list, and then Denny Hamlin. Of the 8 drivers that are still in contention, so Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., Chase Elliott, that's the top 4. Clint Bowyer, Joey Logano, Kurt Busch, Eric Almirola. I would say out of those 8, my favorite is probably, I'm going to play the hot hand, I'd probably go Chase Elliott, because he should have won last year. He wasn't, you heard Bob Pockrass talk about it. Wasn't great in the spring, but I think there's something about, you know, this fall race and the temps are a little different, and, you know, they do have the lights now, so it could go late into the afternoon, early evening if they need to turn the lights on. I kind of think that favors Chase Elliott. I wouldn't sleep on Clint Bowyer, because he's out right now, and he knows. And look, Clint's been sneaky good this entire year. 2 wins, but even in the playoffs, he's been consistent enough to advance. He knows he needs to win. You heard Joey Logano earlier in the post-race, I should say. He said that, you know, we got to win now. We got to go and get some wins. That's how we're going to get to Homestead. So the desperation level for a lot of drivers, even the favorites, I think is through the roof. That's going to create some exciting short track racing. And also, you're going to see what we always see at Martinsville. You're going to see some tempers. You're going to see some disagreements, just like we saw last year between Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin. And don't be surprised at all, because they've been good. They've kind of worked their stuff out. But if Denny Hamlin is leading this race and Chase Elliott is number 2 and Chase can get to the bumper, you know what's going to happen. This is where you get the payback. The payback always comes when, you know, and we kind of expect it, but the payback would come a year later. It's like, huh, I'm going to put myself in his position or in the position I was in last year. Yeah, I'm dumping him. I'm not going to race him clean. And Denny Hamlin should expect that too. And if it happens, Denny Hamlin can't be ticked off about it. He's just going to have to be like, well, I deserved that. So it should be a fun race. I feel like a top eight driver is going to win. I think that trend continues unless it's Jimmy Johnson. You know, depending on how his race goes, you know, through the stages, what kind of car they bring. But, you know, they've had this one circled. So I think he'll be a factor. But I just have a feeling that one of these top eight guys is going to end up punching their ticket to Homestead. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Chasing Checkers. Appreciate Bob Pockers from ESPN for joining us. Again, if you missed any previous episodes, they're all at thegamenashville.com. Just go under Pod Center and go to Chasing Checkers. You can also subscribe on iTunes and it will download to your device, to your computer. However you get your podcast, just search Chasing Checkers, rate, subscribe, and review. And you can give me a follow on Twitter at Chase on Game as well. That's going to do it. I'm Chase McKay. We'll talk to you next week on ESPN 102.5 The Game.